Welcome to the Steelers by the Lake podcast. My name's James, joined once again by my co-host, Cody. Cody, how are you today?
I am great, man. We beat the Cleveland Browns. So I'm in a good mood.
Man, I'm in a good mood, too. It was a lot of fun. I got the opportunity to go there thanks to my lovely wife. Got hooked up with some tickets. We went to the game. I cheered my head off. I didn't have a voice yesterday. Otherwise, we would have probably recorded yesterday for you folks. It would have been a solo show.
Yeah, they would have hated that.
Get out of here, man. Give yourself some credit.
Nah, man, it was a great game. I got to watch it from my comfortable couch while you were sitting in the cold, so I'm okay with that.
Man, it was 50. I didn't need my coat for half the game. It was great.
Listen, in a couple weeks, news alert, we were scheduled for a 1 o'clock game week 15 against the Bills at home. We are now on Sunday Night Live.
That's an 8 o'clock kickoff now, 8:20, I think, actually. Of course, the reason that this is happening, spoiler for the show, we beat the Browns. So now that means this is actually a playoff contention game. We could be talking about positioning, depending on how things go. The Bills have an actually very difficult schedule coming up. They got a lot of tough opponents still here, including your Pittsburgh Steelers. And if we're able to beat them, there's a possibility of actually passing them, becoming the fifth seed. But right now, the Bills are the fifth seed. The Steelers are the sixth seed. So this is actually kind of a playoff game coming up already in 1 week. But let's not look too far. The Cardinals are coming up right before them.
Yes, they are. Another thing, I think part of the reason we got moved to Sunday night, too, yes, we're awesome, but the Bills had one of the best rated Thanksgiving games ever.
Really? I didn't even know that.
Yeah, I think it was the top rated Thanksgiving game in 27 years, they said.
Holy cow. Does that just mean everybody loves seeing the Cowboys lose?
That's what I would say.
Hell yeah.
It will be fun. So, yeah, let's talk about this Cleveland Browns game.
Yeah, man. So, only one note to talk about before this game, and there was a change at quarterback. Devlin Hodges, the starting quarterback for the game, gives everybody confidence. You love to see the confidence and swagger in this man.
The quacker in him.
Seems like he'll shoot any duck in his way.
You better duck or you're going to get ducked by the duck.
Shooting everything in sight. He's not throwing wounded ducks out there.
He threw one.
Okay, yeah, there was one.
I remember seeing one. But other than that, no, this game was great. Let's start it off. So Cleveland got the ball to start the game. Baker Mayfield back to pass. Throws a bullet to Jarvis Landry. For a big pickup, first down. They go down the drive, pick up another first down. We couldn't make tackles early in this game. It was kind of concerning, but our defense did get it together late in the game. On a 3rd and 14, Baker Mayfield back to pass, gets pressured from big ol' 79 there, and throws an incomplete pass.
When this happened, man, I was having nightmares, deja vu all over again. They collapsed the pocket, but what they didn't do was contain him. That was the one thing I said coming into this game they had to do, is contain Baker. If you let him escape out of the pocket, he's going to make plays. He throws that dart on the right sideline, and there's a challenge.
Yep, it was called incomplete on the field. There was a challenge, and it was caught by Jarvis Landry and those massive hands that he has. It was a great job on his part. So on a 2nd and 6 from about the 7-yard line, Baker Mayfield goes back to pass. Has time until your boy TJ Watt comes in for the sack.
Let me tell you about that dude, man. Mr. Hubbard, Mother Hubbard, the right tackle for the Browns, used to play for the Steelers. Obviously, TJ beat him in practice every single day because he beats him every time he plays him against the Browns. He owns the man. I'm pretty sure his jersey's hanging on Hubbard's wall.
You're not lying. On the very next play, he was about to beat him again before he got double-teamed. They made sure that didn't happen again. But Baker Mayfield, thankfully, threw the ball, uncatchable ball outside the end zone. 4th and 12, they kick a field goal. They're up 3-0 early in the first quarter.
That last pass, too, right before the field goal attempt, they were trying to hit Odell Beckham in the end zone. You saw Mike Hilton on the over coverage. And Minka on the under. They were bracketing Odell all game long and did not let him get open. The man could have had some big plays. Didn't happen, though. Following kickoff, it's Kareth White, folks. We have a return man. He makes it all the way out to the 40-yard line. I didn't know Pittsburgh was allowed to do that, folks. I don't think they made it past the 25 all year so far. Big change from the days of Ryan Switzer.
We don't discuss those names in here. That's basically a sin. Anyways.
And I think one thing we're going to see, you've got a much faster man and somebody much more stout. He's got a good 20 pounds on Switzer, so when somebody gets a hold of him, it's going to take everything they've got to get him down because he runs like a running back because he is one.
Yep.
He broke a number of tackles on that play, got an extra probably 15 yards out of it before he finally got taken down. I love the way he runs on these returns, even when he runs the ball. I'm really looking forward to seeing him in future roles here. I actually got a chance to see down on the stadium the formation, and I understand kind of why they had such difficulties so far this season in the return game, because he had a lot of small bodies out there. With Rosie Nixon not out, he's usually in that kick return game blocking. You don't have a third tight end, so usually that person's also out there blocking. So you're missing two guys who specialize in blocking on this kick return unit. So you got safeties and wide receivers out there instead. I mean, they got Johnny Holton as an up back. That's usually a running back or fullback. And then they have Cam Kelly in the middle of it right next to a tight end. You know that's supposed to be another tight end. So I think that has a lot to do with the struggles. But now that you got a faster, stronger guy back there, we might actually see some decent returns the rest of the year.
Yeah, faster, stronger, better center of gravity, all around better body, better build for a return man. So excited to see what we're going to get out of him. But backed up to a 3rd and 6 already on our first drive. Devlin Hodges goes back to pass, has a decent amount of time, but unfortunately helps the defender by running outside the pocket when he got some pressure, which forced the sack to be able to happen. He could have stepped up into the pocket, got himself more time, but that's a mistake. He's undrafted. He's a rookie. He's going to learn from these types of things, and he's going to get better. On the ensuing drive by Cleveland, we get them backed up to a 3rd and 4. They do a little screen pitch, and Vince Williams is there to clean up Kareem Hunt very quickly behind, like roughly 2 yards behind the line of scrimmage. Great play from Vince on that one in a man-to-man coverage. On the following possession for Pittsburgh, because we got the ball back, 2nd and 6, we do a little dump-off pass to Jalen Samuels, 5 yards behind the line of scrimmage. We've hated seeing this up to this point. The difference here is Jalen had some running room. He scrambled for and got the first down by just about a yard. Great job on his part.
And really the execution on this, it's all about your timing. So if you're going to give it to the running back, you can't wait and wait and wait and wait and then give it to him. You have to find your guys, go through the progressions quickly, and then when it's not there, get it to your running back quickly, because otherwise, by the time you get back to him, those linebackers are on him and he's got nowhere to run. They got it to him quickly, he had some space, and when he has some space, he can make people miss. It was fun to see him actually have some more success in this game.
Yep, so we are forced to turn the ball back over on a punt back to Cleveland on a 2nd and 6. Baker Mayfield back to throw. Great pass to Jarvis Landry for the first down. On the next play, 1st and 10, they do a little handoff, and Nick Chubb runs for about 9 yards. They get a first down on this next play. So 1st and 10, they run the ball. Nick Chubb pounded his way for a first down. There was a flag on the play, however, the false start on T.J. Watt, unfortunately. So they get to a 2nd and 5. They give the ball to Chubb again, runs for another first down. Chubb was having his way on us early and often in this game, unfortunately for us. But then Baker Mayfield on the 3rd and 5 passes underneath to Kareem Hunt. Kareem Hunt runs through 2 tackles before getting into the end zone for a touchdown. So mid-second quarter, it's 10-0 Cleveland. I was not excited at this point in the game. I don't know how you were feeling being at the game, but I was not happy.
It was awful. And the effort on that touchdown by Kareem Hunt on the Steelers defense was also awful. You had two guys half-heartedly try to tackle him, and then Minka just didn't even really try, man. He was hoping the other guys would take him down. Hunt walks right in. Got to have better effort than that. And when it's 10-0 Cleveland this early, Hodges looked uncomfortable in the pocket. Was kind of bailing out pretty early. They couldn't get the ball moving on offense. They had barely any yards at all. And the defense was having a tough time stopping Cleveland's offense. So it did not look promising at this point.
No, so we get the ball back. Hodges, with just under 7 minutes to go on a 3rd and 9, forces a neutral zone infraction that he took advantage of because it was a free play, bombed it down the left side of the field to none other than his hunting buddy, James Washington. And yes, if you haven't seen the picture yet, they have gone duck hunting together, and it is quite a sight to see them both holding ducks. It is adorable.
It's a Tuesday tradition for them. It's a day off for the players. Both of them enjoy duck hunting. They do it together. We've got a new combination, folks. We all thought it would be Mason Rudolph and James Washington since they played together in college. Ducks got a favorite receiver, and his name is James, folks. Look out. He throws to him whenever he's uncomfortable, and it was just a heck of a play. This was the turning point in the game right here. He decided right then that he was going to start throwing some bombs. Enough of the dunking, enough of the little short stuff. He was going to take some chances and throw it down the field, and this was just a beautiful throw he threw to Washington here.
So on a first and 10 from the R49-yard line, just on our side of the field, this is where we got a little trickery too. So Hodges is in the backfield. You have two tight ends to the right, two wide receivers to the left, and Jalen Samuels in the backfield to the right of the quarterback. He hands the ball to Jalen Samuels, who runs left, pitches the ball then to none other than Deontay Johnson. Deontay Johnson gets a half block from Devlin Hodges, breaks an arm tackle, and then runs and scrambles for a good 15, 16, 17 yards. Great trick play, worked perfectly, beautifully designed.
Yeah, you got to see this kind of thing when an offense is struggling to get people excited, get them going in the game. And Deontay Johnson is excellent in the open field, so you really got to give him opportunities. Next play, we saw Devlin Hodges kind of misjudge the pressure again. Pressure came from his right side, and he faded to the right. If he steps up into it, maybe the guy goes past. Maybe if he goes left, he was unable to complete the pass due to it. But there's a field goal attempt.
Boz for president.
Boz for president, folks.
Absolutely. So 10-3 with just over 2 minutes to go. We get Cleveland to a 3rd-and-6 on their side of the 25. Baker Mayfield back to pass. Almost gets sacked by TJ Watt. Almost gets sacked by another blitzing lineman, and then throws a decent ball that just happened to be incomplete. Receiver couldn't get his hand underneath the ball. So we get the ball back with under 2 minutes left on a 2nd-and-10. Devlin Hodges goes back to pass, has time, throws a beautiful bomb to none other than Tevin Jones, who took a big hit when he got the ball and still managed to hang on control of the ball. It was a great job on Jones's part.
Tevin not being a volume contributor in these past couple weeks, but definitely a significant one. When they go to him, he's catching the ball. Guy's shown some good hands and some good toughness.
Yeah, that was a good 25-yard play that put us in field goal position. So at the very least, you have to imagine we go into halftime 10-6. So with 1:06 left in the half, Devlin Hodges again takes a long bomb to none other than James Washington, who was definitely interfered with on the play, but somehow managed to still grab and hang on to the ball for a Pittsburgh Steelers touchdown.
This was absolutely incredible, folks. I was on the opposite end of the stadium, so all I saw was a Cleveland Brown clothesline him before the ball got there, and I said to myself, doggone it, here it is again. They're interfering with the receiver rather than giving up the big play, but somehow, some way, this man came up with the ball while being clotheslined beforehand and horse collared to the ground during the catch. Incredible focus for him to be able to do that. Very impressive. This man is starting to show that he's a little bit more than just an afterthought on this team.
So that puts us going into halftime 10-10. It is important to note that at the end of the first half, in the end of the second quarter, Baker Mayfield did injure his hand on Bud Dupree's helmet during a throw. It wouldn't cause him to miss a whole lot of time in the game in the second half, but he did miss the immediate end of the first half. So we get the ball to start the second half. We got ourselves immediately backed up to a 1st-and-15, but Devlin Hodges takes the snap, has a beautiful amount of time with blocking, hits a little open Jalen Samuels underneath on the left-hand side, who then runs for a good 15 yards for the first down. Great job.
Absolutely love the way he finished this run. Again, he held inside, pretended to be a blocker, released, and was hit immediately when he released, which is why he was open, ran in the open field, found the sticks, and then he found a wide receiver blocking a DB. I don't know if you saw this, Cody. If you didn't, rewind it. He buries the man. He puts his shoulder into him, puts him on his butt, and tells him, "This is my house. You're visiting. Go back to Cleveland."
It was a great, great job. So on a 1st-and-10, Devlin Hodges back to pass again, has beautiful blocking, has time. throws a deep bomb down the field and hits none other than James Washington again, who out manhandled the defensive back to get the catch, who was also fighting for the ball.
Washington's just coming out, folks. I'm telling you, look out for him. He has been excellent this last month. He's not putting together 8 or 9 catch games, but he's putting together some serious yardage, starting to get touchdowns on a consistent basis. What we're seeing is the evolution of a second-year receiver who's a second-round pick, who you expect to contribute, starting to contribute significantly in a team that's trying to make a late push in the season, and a lot of it's coming on his shoulders. Following play, we've got Hodges in shotgun, hits it to the corner of the end zone, almost completed to Deion Kane. So dang close. He's calling for a penalty, and they give it to him because he was getting mugged the whole dang time. Pass interference, folks. Let's get it first down at the 1 yard line.
So, from first and one at the goal line, we give the ball to none other than Benny Snell, who somehow didn't go down on this play and managed to run in for a touchdown.
There's about 3 guys hanging on him, and he just keeps on driving his legs, just like a running back should, like a lot of them don't. He's just driving his legs all the way through. It's a beautiful thing, man. I love the way he runs the ball. So many guys, when they get hit, their legs go dead, and they go down, and they don't get any more yards because of it. Benny's going to be an extremely effective short yardage back because of how hard he runs, and it all starts with his leg drive. Just an impressive thing for a young man. I love the way he does it.
So we get the ball back to Cleveland. Baker Mayfield makes a great pass on 2nd and 12. Hilton was there on the coverage, just couldn't get the pass to be incomplete. Jarvis Landry made the catch, got the first down.
Got to give Landry credit, man. He had a good game.
Oh, absolutely. He had a great game. I love what Steven Nelson said about Jarvis Landry and Odell Beckham Jr. He said, and I'm not sure if this was before or after the game, but he's like, they're no different than any other receivers. And I like the confidence out of our back, out of our defensive backs.
Nels is putting together quite a year. I saw a cornerback list put together by somebody, I think it was on ESPN, and he was listed as a top 10 corner right now. It just goes to show you don't need a lot of interceptions to be a shutdown guy. He's just not allowing a lot of people to catch the ball on him.
So at this point, it's important to note that total yards is about as close as it can get for Cleveland and Pittsburgh in the game. 222 to 223, Pittsburgh leading with that 1 yard. Granted, Cleveland had the ball at this point in the game with in the third quarter with just over 6.5 minutes left in the game. But on a 3rd and 3, Baker Mayfield takes the snap, hands it off to none other than Nicholas Chubb, and we make the stop on 3rd and 3. You love to see that out of this D-line and the linebackers in order to make a stop in that close of a situation, because we haven't been good at it this year, but that's beside the point. We get them to a 4th and 1. They line up to go for it. They snap the ball. They hand it off, and they get the first down.
Yeah, kind of an old school move. You don't see too many running backs dive over the top of it anymore. That's exactly what he did. Good strategy because it worked very well for him.
Yep, so we get them backed up on the very next play after a penalty to a 2nd and 20. So Baker Mayfield back to pass, has time, gets attacked from Bud Dupree, almost gets sacked by Vince Williams, and then goes down and fumbles the ball by none other than Bud Dupree. Sack fumble, baby.
This is exactly what they needed to do, and you're starting to see it. You shrink the pocket, collapse it, so you got the guys on the outside containing, forcing him to step inside, and then your defensive linemen who are collapsing the pocket by bench pressing those offensive linemen who just aren't as strong as you. Sorry, kind of a well-known fact on this one. Cam Hayward and Javon Hargrave, much stronger than those Cleveland offensive linemen. They just push them right back pretty easily. Then they got to try to avoid that. Then TJ Watt comes flying over. He's trying to avoid that. By that time that happens, Dupree's back around, man. Knocks that ball loose. Cam Hayward jumps on it. Pittsburgh ball.
It's important to note, Bud Dupree, 4th forced fumble this season. He is tied for 5th in the NFL now.
You know who's got more than him?
TJ Watt.
TJ does. Hell yeah, he does.
So on a 1st and 10, Devlin Hodges gives the ball to Benny Snell, who runs into about 3 Cleveland Browns on this play, about 5 yards past the line of scrimmage, but doesn't go down, just like you were saying. He keeps pushing. He doesn't just go down after first contact, and then manages to run for an extra 7 or 8 yards and gets the first down.
Incredible.
Amazing job.
Incredible. Should have been a 5-yard gain, gained about 12 or 13. Awesome run.
3rd and 7, Devlin Hodges back to pass, realizes the pocket's breaking around him. Rather than running around, hey, let's go get some yards. There's no one in front of me. Third and seven, he runs for a first down, slides, gets back up, ready to go for round two.
Beautiful recognition of the down and distance. He saw where people were coming. He recognized it was a zone, and there's no one sitting there looking at him. He needed seven. He went and got 8.5 or nine, and then was smart and got down so nobody could take a cheap shot at him.
RJ3, you could have been better. Anyways, second and six, Devlin Hodges back, play action to White, passes the ball to Nick Vinette. Nick Vinette runs, and Nick Vinette, thank you for being a man here. Nick Vinette goes on a second and six, easily could have got tackled 2 yards before the line of scrimmage, but just lowers his elbow and his shoulder and runs right through a guy.
Initiate the contact with a defender. Don't wait for him to come get you. You go get him. That's how you get the extra yards. That's how he got that first down. Well, job.
Great.
Well done. Freaking well done.
Job, Vinette. Anyways, third and goal. Devlin Hodges takes the snap, pretends to hand it off, doesn't hand it off, tries to scramble, and unfortunately fumbles the ball out of bounds. Thankfully, it went out of bounds.
I see what he was trying to do here. He was just trying to
throw
it away.
He tried to throw the ball with his left hand.
Yeah, that didn't work out real well.
He's right-handed.
Honestly, this was just a play that was blown up by Mack Wilson. The fake didn't fool anyone, and because of it, the play got blown up.
But luckily, we have a guy named Chris Boswell on the team. Boz for president.
Boz for president, right down the middle.
We're up 20-10 at this point. 12 minutes, just under 13 minutes, excuse me, in the game. And it looks like a TJ Watt sack on third and seven to me.
That one actually was credited to Cam Sutton because he got there first.
Totally fine with that. I don't care. It's a sack.
Don't see too many Cam Sutton sacks, but we got one today.
One closer to 60, which means we're shaving our head.
Let's do this.
So we get them backed up to a fourth down, obviously get the ball back because they're going to punt it on that down and distance. On a third and 15, Devlin Hodges back to pass, has time, throws it about 2 yards or 3 yards past the line of scrimmage to Vance McDonald, who turns around and realizes, holy crap, there's no one near me. I should start running. And he does. Unfortunately, runs through one or two guys before getting tackled by about three or four. So
great effort by Vance on this play. Unfortunately, it was way too far away from the first down to get it. But he gave every bit of effort he could and really gained a significant amount of yards, which allowed Pittsburgh to flip the field.
So on a first and 10, we get the ball back to Cleveland, obviously. Cleveland back to pass, has time. Baker Mayfield makes a great throw to Odell Beckham, who's a little cranky when he gets up and starts yelling at a sideline. little child temper.
Was that
tantrum.
His only catch?
Probably. So they get a first and 10 again. Baker Mayfield almost gets destroyed by Bud Dupree, gets the ball out in time to Nick Chubb. Nick Chubb runs for well over a first down, but luckily, great tackle by our defensive back. Not sure who that was.
Steven Nelson, man. Steven Nelson, very reliable tackler.
So, on a first and 10 again for Cleveland, Baker Mayfield takes the snap with no running backs on the field. Wide open receiver. I hate how far we're playing back. I understand you're trying to respect the speed, but you're just making it too hard for your linebackers to stay with these guys. Play up and then be able to run back with them. I don't know what to say. There was a good 15, 20 yards between the line where the linebackers were and where the safeties were over top. They're not going to get the help they need in that situation.
Looks kind of like Devin Bush got sucked in instead of getting his depth. They ran a crossing pattern underneath with TJ was covering. So if he gets a little bit better depth, maybe this is a little more difficult. Still would have been tough to get enough depth on that play.
Yeah, Vince Williams was also caught trying to sneak in for the underneath pass, but whatever. We'll get better at it because they're still learning. At least Bush for
sure.
Yeah,
Devin's learning, man. I did notice last week against the Bengals, there was a play where the Bengals shifted their offensive formation and put a running back out on the outside and a wide receiver in on the slot, which Pittsburgh normally on their defense would put the corner the furthest outside and the middle linebacker would then take the person inside. Devin Bush grabbed Joe Hayden on that play and shoved him inside and went outside and covered the running back. And on that play, Joe Hayden broke up the ball. Devin Bush is showing that he's learning, involving, and evolving into a possible defensive leader and play caller. So I like where he's trending, but he's going to have a few hiccups along the way.
Yep. So on a second and 10 from our 14-yard line, Cleveland throws a ball to the end zone, caught for a touchdown. Oh, wait, just kidding. This receiver landed it and looked like he tried to slam dunk the ball on the ground because the ball went flying right back up, even hit the goalpost. I don't know what happened on the play. Receiver looked injured. I'm not sure what happened.
Tight coverage by Terrell Edmonds. He was there to put a hit on him as he was attempting to catch it. I don't think that hurt the process as far as it being incomplete any. But in the end, a little bit more on the wide receiver than on Terrell Edmonds.
Yep, so on a 3rd and 10, we get another sack by Cam Hayward and Bud Dupree this time on a 3rd and 10. Great job by them. 4th and 12, their kicker comes onto the field, kicks a field goal. It is 13-20 at this point in the game. So we get the ball back. Devlin Hodges takes the snap on 1st and 10, has great protection again, throws the ball deep down the field. Unfortunately, this time it is intercepted. The only thing I have to say about this is I was very disappointed with Deontay Johnson's just recognition of, hey, the ball's in the air and I should be running to get it. It was insanely catchable. If you go back and look at the replay, he easily could have ran under that and got that ball. And then even when it was intercepted, he showed no energy of going to get the tackle. It's almost like, oh man, he threw a pick and that now let me go run. And that forced him to get blocked out of the play when in reality we could have stopped the roughly, I don't know, 30-yard return from happening. Got to be better, Deontay.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was talking to a gentleman next to me in the stadium when this happened, and we agreed pretty quickly that even if he doesn't think he can catch it, you've got to turn into the defender there. You're no longer the wide receiver. You're the defender. You have to go attempt to break up the interception and try to prevent that defender from making the catch. And if he does still make the catch, you're at least there to down him where he catches it. Wish he would have had a little bit more effort on there. I'm sure he's going to get coached up on that, so I'm not worried about it. The man's got all the athleticism in the world, just need a little bit more hustle on that play.
So, Cleveland with the 1st and 10. Baker Mayfield takes the snap. Has great blocking for one of the first times in the game. Throws a bullet down the left sideline to Jarvis Landry. Great job at breaking it up with Mike Hilton in there. He played that pocket just like you talked about.
Yeah, not a bad game for Mike Hilton at all. That's actually a much more vertical route than he typically is good at covering. Did a great job on it. You've absolutely got to stop him there, and he did.
On a 3rd and 10, Baker Mayfield back to pass again. Doesn't have time this time. Javon Hargrave is there to get the sack.
And in this one, if you watch it on the playback here, Javon Hargrave just owns this offensive lineman, throws him all the way back, almost to the ground, and then it's about as easy as a path to the quarterback as you can get. This was one of my criticisms of the Browns' offseason moves. They traded a Pro Bowl right guard in Kevin Zeitler, who used to play for the Cincinnati Bengals, went to a number of Pro Bowls with them, for a pass rusher they don't really even use. I don't get it. They just threw whoever they wanted to at right guard, and he's getting dominated by good players, which is how that works.
So their field goal kicker comes on, and they do a fake field goal, and they actually punt it out of a field goal formation. Very strange to see, but in this case, it worked for them. They wound up downing the ball at the first down. We're not going to talk about what was it touched while the player was in the end zone, whatever. It was called as a touchback or as a downed the ball at the 1 yard line, actually inside the 1 yard line by the ref. It is what it is. 1st and 10 from that position. Devlin Hodges back, hands the ball off to none other than our boy, Benny Snell, who runs all the way for a first down.
Breaks 2 tackles on the play, 11 yards when you're backed up at your own 1. Very significant run. At this stage in the game, there's less than 4 minutes left. You've got to run clock. You've got to get first downs, and you got to get away from that end zone. Awesome running job there by him.
So on a 3rd and 6, Devlin Hodges puts Jalen Samuels in motion, takes the snap, has an open man, Deontay Johnson, underneath, who makes a phenomenal juke, and then unfortunately runs out of bounds. In this play, I think Deontay Johnson needs to be a little bit more aware of the situation. Just fall down. Allow the clock to keep running. You're trying to run the clock out, win the game at this point. You got the first down. Stay in bounds. Let the clock run.
He'll get coached up on that too, but it was a great move on his part. Great catch. Great execution. Get past the sticks. Get some extra yards. I agree with you. I'd love to see him get down in bounds. But he'll get coached up on that, man. He'll learn. He'll be better next week.
So on a 3rd and 6, Devlin Hodges takes the snap. Has great amount of time, passes the ball to the right side about 3 yards before the first down mark to Vance McDonald. Vance McDonald breaks 1 tackle, turns around, breaks another tackle, reaches for that first down. Great effort play on his part, and winds up getting 2 yards past the first down mark. Great job by your big boy Vance.
Get these boys involved, man. I love to see it. Finally starting to get some passes thrown to Vance's way. He's a very physical tight end. Even Van Eck showed that he can be physical as well, but if you don't ever throw it to him, you never find out. These are the kind of guys that if you throw it short of the sticks, they can go get it by physicality instead of making people miss.
Yep.
I'll take it either way, but I love the physicality.
And it's exactly what we mentioned a few episodes ago, is we play better when we get the tight ends involved. That's just how it is. It opens up the field for other playmakers to make plays. That's what they're there for. And great job by Devlin to get his tight ends involved. And great job by them to fight for extra yards and prove that they're worth getting involved. So on a 3rd and 6, Devlin Hodges takes the snap after the 2-minute warning, has a great amount of time before he gets pushed to the ground trying to scramble out. I will say that Cam Hayward made a great catch on the sideline as Devlin Hodges just threw the ball away.
He did. He really did. But significant in the fact that you don't want to leave that much time left. A minute 53 when you're only up by a touchdown. I don't like that at all. I almost would have rather seen a running play where they only gained a yard but burned 48 seconds of clock than end up throwing an incomplete pass.
Yep. So on 1st and 10 with 1:45 left in the game, Baker Mayfield takes the snap, throws a bullet to the middle of the field. Minkah Fitzpatrick is there to break it up. Great job by Minkah.
Minkah did an excellent job. He was upset with himself because he didn't go for the interception and just batted it down. The rest of us are pretty happy with how he's playing, so we're not worried about it.
So on a 2nd and 10, throws the ball underneath to Kareem Hunt. Unfortunately, this play, they flagged Bud Dupree on this play for roughing the passer. This was the biggest joke for roughing the passer I have ever seen. Clean hit, couldn't have even been more than 2 or 3 milliseconds after the ball had left Baker Mayfield's hand. There was no illegal head-to-head contact, no insane amount of force, like no diving, no throwing his body around. It was a clean hit, clean tackle. Great job by Bud. Ignore the refs on this one.
Yeah, the hit itself as far as time was fine. The only thing I think that they didn't like is that his head jerked forward. I think maybe Bud's shoulder pad might have come in contact with Baker's helmet. Certainly wasn't helmet to helmet, but we just have to remember we're not allowed to hit the quarterback's helmet at all, whether it be your hand, your arm, your leg. Another helmet, whatever it may be. Yeah.
Another helmet.
Yeah, so I think they were pretty convinced that his shoulder pad or helmet hit him. It was a pretty hard hit, so I can understand why they would have ruled that way. But if you look at it closer, you can see there's definitely no helmet-to-helmet contact.
So on a 1st and 10 with 1:36 left, Baker Mayfield goes back to throw. Has a decent amount of time, throws the ball to Kareem Hunt. Kareem Hunt gets tackled roughly 4 or 5 yards down the field.
Tick, 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 tick.
Clock's ticking away. 2nd and 5, 1:17 on the clock. Baker Mayfield fumbles the snap a little bit, throws a bomb down the field, overthrown and outside. Joe Hayden is there to make the interception against his former team, runs it back before falling down right about the 45-yard line on Cleveland's side. And that, my friends, would end the Cleveland Browns in Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh moves to 7-5, Cleveland to 5-7. Great job, Pittsburgh, by getting the win here.
Now, significant, if you have not seen this yet, I highly recommend watching. It's pretty entertaining. Anytime Pittsburgh gets a chance to do a kneel down, you get to see Mr. Zach Banner out there on the right end of the line, and he takes it very seriously. He gets down and squats and has his arms as far out to the sides as possible, and he holds that stance for like 3 or 4 seconds while everybody else is up and shaking hands. It's really entertaining. I enjoy watching it.
Great job. So we get the win. What do we have post-game?
So notable things from this game. I really loved seeing the tight ends getting involved again. What's the point of even having them out there if you're never going to use them? It's not like they're dominant blockers. So you got to get them involved in the passing game. This makes people realize they can't double-team wide receivers. You can't throw too much attention on the running backs. Got to pay attention to the tight ends, too. I think there was 4 catches total from that position. Not bad. Big improvement there. Nice to see the Wildcat returning. Not significantly, but I think 3 or 4 plays in the game with some effectiveness as well. So that's just another thing that teams have to practice for, which takes away from their preparation for your normal game plan, which is fantastic. Anything that keeps them from putting all their focus on what they should be stopping, I'm down with it, especially if it's effective. Defense did a great job of adjusting from what they did the first game against the Browns by collapsing the pocket instead of just running upfield and trying to get Baker one-on-one. It's a team thing with mobile quarterbacks. You've got to collapse the pocket, keep him inside, and get him to the ground. Did a great job on it. That's why you saw as many sacks as you did in that game. And they're really starting to rack up a total here. Notable on this because collapsing the pocket is going to be important these next few weeks. You got Kyler Murray coming up, Josh Allen after that, and then wrapping up the season most likely with Lamar Jackson. But even if it's a situation where the Ravens don't have anything to play for as far as their positioning, their backup quarterbacks are mobile too. They've got Trace McSorley as a backup. So you still need to be able to contain these mobile quarterbacks.
And RG3.
Yeah, both. RG3. Take your pick. All the guys on that roster are mobile quarterbacks. This is great practice for continuing forward here. They keep these practices, and you're going to have a really big total at the end of the year. They've got 43 sacks right now. T.J. Watt's got 12.5 on the season. Let's not forget James Harrison has the single-season record with 16, so he's on pace to beat it. Bud Dupree's got 8.5. Best he's ever done in a single season before this year is 6, and there's still 4 games to go. Cam Hayward's got 7, which is not a bad season total at all. And Javon Hargrave's got 4. So he's getting some good contribution as well from the inside here. So great start for these folks. They're on a pace for 57 sacks on the season, a little over 57. So 4 sacks per game on the final 4 games, with one of them getting 5, and we'll have 60 on the season. That'll be 2 bald dudes here.
We will be shaving our heads if we get the 60 sacks. We said that at the beginning of the year. We'll see what happens. If we do hit 60, expect a Facebook Live video of that event. Yes, we're calling it event because I'm losing hair. James is not exactly losing hair, but that's beside the point.
Come on, there's 5 or 6 of them there.
That's okay. So, looking ahead to the Arizona Cardinals next week, what is your biggest concern? Don't say Kyler Murray. You're going to say Kyler Murray.
Oh, of course I'm going to say Kyler Murray. This is a top-tier talent, the number one draft pick in last year's draft. If you didn't pay attention closely before, he didn't even declare for the draft until about 2 weeks before. The man is an incredible baseball talent, and when you watched him play in college, he's one of those guys that has such a strong arm that he doesn't need to step into a throw. He can kind of flick his wrist and it'll go 50, 60 yards, no problem. But an incredible athlete as well. He's getting sacked a lot this year, but I think that has more to do with his offensive line than him. Because honestly, the line's not that great. I mean, their starting center is A.Q. Shipley, who really does not belong as a starting center in the NFL. He tried out for the Steelers a real long time ago, couldn't even make the practice squad. He's got about the shortest arms you'll ever see on a center. So watch for Javon Hargrave against him. If he can get one-on-one matchups against Shipley, he's going to dominate him. Same with Hayward. If either one of those guys can get one-on-one with Shipley, they're going to throw him around like a rag doll.
Yep. Yeah, like you said, Kyler Murray's been sacked a lot already this year. 41 sacks on the season.
Incredible.
His last 2 games were both 6 sacks and 4 sacks against division rivals with the Rams and San Francisco 49ers. I got to say, our defense is just about as good as theirs. If you compare San Fran and 49ers, they're all – or for, excuse me, 49ers are the top-ranked defense. We're 5th, which is better than the Rams that are 12th. So it's important to say that there's a chance of a high sack total this game. And we could really sneak up on 60 faster than we expect. Would love to see that for our football team. Would love to see that for next week. But it is also important when we speak about defense, it's important to notice Arizona has the worst defense in the league. They are allowing 426 yards per game.
That's a lot, man. This is a great week for them to get some confidence on the Steelers' offense. I'd like to see Hodges get close to 300 yards passing, Snell up over 100 rushing again. Let's make this happen. Let's see if they can get over 30 points for the first time in the season.
That'd be amazing. I would enjoy that very much, and I think it might happen.
And honestly, I think they need that confidence going into the next couple weeks. The Bills game will not be an easy game. I'm not saying this Cardinals game will be. You can't ever underestimate anybody, especially when you got a talent like Kyler Murray at quarterback. You just would love to see some higher output on the offense. I like that we're starting to move the ball a little bit better here. I think they're getting a little more comfortable in the offense, and that's all excellent to see. Notable thing, we're going to remind you next week as well. coming up on this Steelers-Bills game with it being moved to an 8 o'clock game, that is not stopping myself or Cody from attending this game. If you want to meet up beforehand, we will be getting there a little bit early, doing a little tailgating. We'd Absolutely. Love to shake some hands, talk some football with you folks, and say hello. So reach out to us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, wherever you follow us. We'd love to talk to you and even meet up that Sunday if you'd like to say hello.
Yep, totally would love to meet some fans, grow our community. We're all family-based here. We love our families very much. You guys are, if you're listening to the podcast, you have joined that family. Congratulations. Welcome to the Strong and Tanner family.
Dang right.
You just missed Thanksgiving dinner, but that's okay. We'll have you over for Christmas.
It was cold anyway. Thanksgiving will be...
Exactly. So thank you guys so much for listening. Be sure to like and follow, as we said, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, at Steelers by the Lake. Message us, tweet at us, follow us, whatever you got to do to get in contact. We want to hear from you guys. We want to know what you think of the show, what you think we can do to improve it. We've had some people reach out. We will be taking those into consideration and discussing that between the two of us and seeing what we can do just to make the listeners happy. It's all about making sure you guys are getting the information you want. So we are so excited. So again, until next time, this is your host, James and Cody, signing off.
Quack, quack.